Yep, you're right. It's Party Friday here on the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. You may not get to hear my intro a whole lot more because we're going to have one professionally done. We're working on.
Right.
People demand that I.
People demanded. True, straight up here with the Chuck and Julie Show.
Brought to you by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. You got to check them out every day. Hey, and I want to say thank you to them. They did a great article
on podcast.
A podcast, and they mentioned us. So a thank you to them. I recommend you check out all of the podcasts there too.
Yeah.
Today on the show, we're going to have Randy Corcoran coming up at 3:30 to bring us an update on Jen Hulon, the Centennial restaurant owner who's battling for the survival of her restaurant, as well as there's a lot of wackiness going on in the Colorado Republican Party.
Well, we want to talk to Patrick about it.
Yeah. But first, a weekly minority report with State Minority Leader Patrick Neville. So, hey, Patrick, happy Friday.
Yeah, same to you guys.
So I've never seen this, and I've been around Colorado Republican politics for a while, at least observing, the fact that the establishment has decided to try to destroy the
Ken Buck,
the party chairman and sitting representative, and they're going to do that through the Denver Post and also Jason Saltzman, because he's been following it part of
Progress Now.
No, well, Colorado Polls, okay. It's called. More or less, but he's following it rapidly and citing all the establishment hacks and there are lots of them, but Eli Bremmer took on he wanted to be a Republican committee man, which is Colorado's representative, one male, one female, to the RNC, and Randy Corcoran crushed him. I mean, Eli Bremmer just got 15%, notwithstanding the backing of guess who? Joe Webb, Chris Cook, the rest. So now, on the pages of the Denver Post, all these attack jobs by Joe Webb, Chris Cook,
Eli Bremmer
against the most notable Republican in the state. I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff, isn't it, Patrick?
It really is. I mean, Ken's done a phenomenal job. And as you guys know, I did not support Ken for this. I actually supported Susan Beckman over Ken
Buck.
Right. It was a tough choice for me because I did like Ken. But Ken's done an absolutely amazing job. And I've not been critical in the least of him or his team. His team has actually done a phenomenal job throughout this. And what I find most amazing, too, is no one wants to talk about the fact that Eli Bremmer actually wrote an op-ed basically saying, let's forego the caucus. Let's just get rid of the caucus. We don't need the caucus anymore. It's too easily manipulated by the grassroots, yada yada, let's just get rid of it. And so it's not surprising to me that he probably ran the worst caucus assembly I've ever heard of in my lifetime. Then now he's trying to turn that around and make Ken Buck look bad. But I think the party spoke overwhelmingly. I think if you look at the decision we were forced with the executive committee, it wasn't ideal. I would have rather have seen the assembly be redone, but it was too late at that point to have the assembly be redone. But I'm sorry, just one person sitting in a room monitoring email account,
the other part about it, I mean, Eli Bremmer, we had another Republican we like a lot, George Anthopoulos, saying I think Eli's hitting above his weight. I mean, demanding an apology from Ken Buck, saying
that he resigned.
That he resigned.
He should maybe get out of the House of Representatives, too.
But he also should pay for his
legal
attorney fees, except he didn't have any. It's a vice chair who sued on behalf, and Eli Bremmer said, I don't care one way or the other. It's not me. I'm just an innocent volunteer. Then how'd you get $15,000 of legal fees? Those are your vice chairman's legal fees. I mean, how crooked can you get?
Right. I mean, these are the same guys that had someone else been doing that to them when they were in power. They'd be demanding, oh, these people just want to see the Democrats succeed over the Republicans. They're so mad at us that they're the ones dividing the party and we don't need this. And then here you go. Now they're doing exactly the same thing. Just under different guys. But I guess it's okay when they do it. Just not others actually try to push back against them.
It's not as if Colorado isn't facing bigger issues, right? I mean, it isn't as if, nothing's happening in Colorado. So we have plenty of time for the establishment Republicans to do battle against all of the other Republicans.
Well, let me ask one more question.
Okay, one more. It's my turn.
You know, you've been featured in a very negative light in Colorado politics.
Unfairly.
unfairly, yeah, very unfairly, Marin Goodland, some others, which is controlled and run and owned by Phil Anschutz. Do you think that these people would go ahead on this kind of attack without Phil's assent? Now, obviously, they don't talk to Phil directly. No one gets to talk to Phil directly, but he's got all these middlemen who give out the orders. Silence.
No, I mean, I don't think they're involved. I don't know what Ernest kind of shocks me with his reporting, because Ernest has kind of usually done at least a somewhat fair job, but his piece was absolutely awful. The Post doesn't surprise me at all, because they're going to do whatever they can to try to attack the Republican Party in general. I don't know. I just find it funny that somehow they're the people that want to get rid of the caucus in general ran the most caucus, the most corrupt caucus assembly, or I don't know if it was even corrupt, but just the worst.
It's certainly a mess.
Untransparent, unorganized assembly that I can think of possibly being run, and now they're saying that, oh gosh, well we were good and we did everything right, and now Ken Buck's bad man, when Ken Buck is just actually trying to make it right, and actually he didn't even really have a big role in it other than letting the executive committee hear it, and the executive committee made a decision.
Well, and the decision, call me crazy, but the decision was, hey, that's what the voters decide. It's like, that seems like a...
No, can't have any of that. We want to avoid that with Kaufman and everybody else. But I think it's amazing that they've gone this far out on a limb if they didn't have some more support of the money guys. I mean, I just can't believe it. Phil is never mentioned, right? It's always, or Pete Coors, Coors, or Stevenson, you know, none of but they behind the scenes run everything on the establishment. You know, whoever has the gold rules, it's a golden rule of politics. So it's amazing to me that if they don't have the support of the money boys, they're really going.
Well, maybe they're really just desperate. Well, they've been crushed by the grassroots, which kind of leads me to Patrick. What I wanted to say, it's like, again, poll is today, and I want to get your take on this, extended the emergency another 30 days. We're never going to get out of this emergency. I mean, I think that if you're a Republican in Colorado, frankly, I think if you're a Democrat in Colorado, you need to be talking about getting the state reopened, getting rid of some of these ridiculous draconian rules. Stop threatening to put business people trying to survive behind bars while we're releasing criminals. I mean, there are so many other issues that everybody, like Eli Bremer and all of those establishment guys, should be helping out on. To me, it's astonishing all the work that really needs to be done.
Right. I mean, there's actually two businesses that are opening up in El Paso County right now that are getting flack from El Paso County themselves or the Colorado Springs government themselves. And so why not? Hey, they're right in your backyard, Eli. Why don't you actually focus on helping those people actually open up and serve people and, you know, have their liberties protected? But no, all the time has to be actually spent attacking Ken Buck, who, like I said, I didn't even support for that job in the original, vote on this, but he has done absolutely phenomenal job. And I've been really impressed with him and his team. And it seems like this is just such a distraction.
Right.
If you won your court case because the liberal Supreme Court agreed with you, okay, good. You won your court case and you can feel happy, with all this extra media attention and running to the Denver Post and feeding stories to Jason Salzman. It's the same stuff that happened to me that they're trying to do to Ken.
Right.
It's totally unnecessary and unneeded.
Let me ask you that. I mean, you know, I did not support Ken. I like Ken, but I did not support him.
Well, we supported Susan Beckman, too.
Well, but I accused him of rigging the election. Not that he would do it. He's kind of more like the owner of the plantation, having somebody else do the whippings and castrations and all that. But he has been a good. I mean, that's why they're shocked. That's why they're going after him. They got him in because they were terrified of Susan Beckman.
Yeah,
they
he's their guy. Lose.
Yeah, so they got him in, and then they had Steve Howe said, look, you know, I can't get reelected on my own, but I'll run it for you while you're in Washington and all that. And then he went off to run for CD6. But it's an amazing process to watch, because I think they figured they just control Ken Buck. He'd do whatever they told him to do. And he's been very independent. And now he has Shanna Bamberger to rig the elections for him. She did a good job of keeping out the establishment one. So it's an amazing
need to continue to squash him, I think, and like Randy did. Because...
Well, I'm really sorry we're not having these. We're having them virtually, and I know you were there and I was there virtually, these meetings of the delegates and the alternates and stuff. But it should be a lot more fun live because there'd be a lot of interesting conversations among the various sides of the delegates.
Yeah, definitely. And again, it's just all a distraction. We have so many bigger problems to be looking at in the state and things coming up. And I mean, all the different drastic orders coming throughout. And, you know, Randy's out there. It's great. You know, it's kind of the tale of two stories here. Here you got Randy, who was running for national committeeman and won. And now he's now representing one of the business owners that actually is opening up and actually trying to help him out. And what is Eli Bremer and the previous chair doing there, just spending all their time trying to tear down the party, where Randy's actually pushing forward the freedom and liberty agenda and actually trying to get our economy back on track. And guess what, folks? That's why he won so overwhelmingly the
next. Exactly. Right. Well, and we're going to be talking about 330. And let me get your take then on, you know, the governor extending, which he did today, the state of emergency in Colorado for another 30 days. I get on one hand that might free up the ability to apply for federal funds. On the other hand, though, to me, there are several issues involving what clearly I believe has become overreach. It was one thing, you know, Barry Farah had, I thought, a good article, Patrick, and that's what I want to ask you about, where he said what he hopes you guys do when you get back is number one, everything you can to start helping the economy, but two, take a real hard look at the governor having such, you know, total draconian power. And at the very least, if we can't amend that, because I think that would take an amendment, a constitutional amendment, put in something so that you guys, the legislators, at least have some, after a certain period of time, you can come in and have something to say about it. Because, I mean, theoretically, he could say, right, that there's an emergency, so you guys can't convene again. I mean, it's just insanity, I think.
Well, I don't think you can say that we can't convene, but I think if you take a look at it, I mean, and that's another point too. Like, we by 2/3 of each chamber, we can actually call a special session ourselves. Yeah. And there are some Democrats that actually fear about that too. So I do think we'd actually have some support if he went too wacko with his authority. But I do think that if you take a look at just the way Colorado works in general, we are one of the states where the governor actually has quite a bit of limited power compared to other states when it just comes to day-to-day business. Right. But when it comes to emergency powers, he has a lot of power. And I do think that's something we need to take a look at and look at scaling back. And then I think the other biggest thing we need to do is, and it's going to be tough because we're in the minority and we don't get late bill status, but I would like to eliminate any of these unelected bureaucrats being able to place orders that have any sort of fines or jail time or anything that's actually what I would consider legislation. Anything that has a legislative effect with a fine or jail time or any significant punishment, I think should be made by elected officials.
Yeah, well, there's always the legal question, what is a delegable power and what's not a delegable power? And it'd be an interesting, well, liberal Supreme Court, so you'd lose, but does he have the right just go, oh no, all those powers are given to you. You know, Bob over there, you.
Right. Can the governor just say,
Tri County here, you take my powers and disperse them and so forth. So he doesn't have to claim that it's him. It's always,
well, that's part of the problem we're seeing over and over is, you know, the governor has actually been somewhat okay on some of this stuff, at least what he says publicly. But then his administration and the bureaucrats that are surrounding him have done the exact opposite. And so who's actually giving those orders? I mean, little things like we were told, oh, no, they're not going to report it as a COVID death unless the, you know, attending physician agrees that it's a COVID death. And then, you know, Brian Moss comes out with a story saying, oh, no, they reversed it. Oh, CDPHE told them to reverse it. And so we're seeing countless of things like that. Or, oh, chiropractors can open up. That's what the governor says. And then, Dora comes out with some really tricky advice that basically says they can only open up if there's a full moon and those circumstances align right. And,
even then
they can't, if someone else complains, they can't open up. So that's what we're just seeing, a real problem with the administration of the state. And that's what we really got to rail in.
Right. You know, I've talked about this before. I have a friend who does facials, and she got a letter from Doris saying that her clients have to wear a mask. And she's like, but I'm doing a facial. You can't do a facial. I mean, it's ludicrous, right? But like she said, there's nowhere to appeal. Who do you call, right? You just call a bureaucrat and they don't answer. Well, what kind of things Because that's what concerns me, Patrick, is just how easily this happened, how fast this happened, and how people, we all were nice and we did our part, but all of a sudden now it's way later and businesses are still shut down. Businesses still aren't sure, can I do this? Can't I do that? I mean, I went to flower shops over the yesterday, right? And some of them you could just walk in, didn't need a mask, you could wear, you know, buy flowers. Others you had to have a mask to go in. I mean, businesses, it's got to be terrible trying to figure out what do I need to do. And if you're a person, it's like, do I wear a mask? Don't I wear a mask?
What I love is the article in the Denver Post, which said, while there were various customers who reported to Dora and everyone else that some people weren't wearing masks, the Denver Post is complaining no businesses called about their customers. They didn't call the police and say, get these people out of here with masks, not masks. I mean, what a mindset. I love
it. I mean, some have,
mindset.
Though. I mean, I heard about even the Costco, you know, up by Park Meadows, actually had a police officer there and was telling people, the police officer before they entered, put on a mask. And I'm guessing that's because I believe that's in Douglas County, so they're not required to wear a mask.
Right.
So I think that's probably a company decision where Costco's actually went beyond even just making a company policy to probably hiring. I'm guessing that police officer who was sitting outside there probably wasn't on duty from
the local
government.
Here,
it was
right.
probably paid for by Costco to make sure their customers put on their mask. And so that's, you see some businesses going, that route, and then others just not even getting any guidance and worried what's going to happen if they do open. And that's what we're kind of seeing is, they do open for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they get some nasty letter from Dora.
Right.
They can't interpret it, and they can't afford to hire an attorney to interpret it, to battle them. So then they just go, oh, well, we'll just shut down for a little longer. And
right.
that's what we really do need to stop is that kind of mentality that let's at least work with them and try to give them some decent guidelines. A good example of this is like the hairstylist, the order that came out on that to allow hairstylists to open up said that you can't have any more than 5 customers at one time in your salon. And it didn't give any sort of direction on, well, what if your salon is 10,000 square feet and you've got 20 hairstylists in private rooms, you still can only have 5. The direction like that is what really needs to be fixed. And again, all that comes down to the administration state.
Right.
And quite frankly, it's a lot of these bureaucrats that I think have gotten a little power hungry and are excited to be exerting their power. And that's why we need to move more of these decisions to elected officials.
I agree, because I think Polis doesn't care. I suspect Polis, is anti-Trump like all the Democrats, and in his own way, he's getting paid. He's rich. He doesn't care about the little nail salon people. And it seems to me he could be doing, and mayors like Denver's mayor, right, who could care less, unless you're a developer, right? Then you can probably do whatever you want.
Or a real good-looking woman.
Yeah. If you're just the average person out there trying to decide, it seems to me that's why you guys need to get back, I think, and do whatever you can to take some of that control back and say, because you know what? My guess is you're the one who actually hears from the person. If I'm a hair salon person or a nail salon person or even just me,
Julie,
I bet I don't get
Julie,
through.
You do realize who's controlling.
I know, but I'm asking. I'm still being optimistic.
Poor Patrick. Oh, sure. We'll get back and then in
Marvel. But at least what I'm saying, though, is I can at least get through to my state representative, probably. I'm not going to get through to Polis. I don't even know who to call at Dora, if you can actually even get a live human being there. But to me, that's why it's so crucial, though, that the power stay with you guys, because you guys are the ones who hear from the constituents.
Yeah, we are. And yeah, that's kind of what Chuck is saying, too. I get a lot of these nasty emails. You need to do something about this. And so I'm definitely trying. We're out there speaking. People keep telling me you need to get out there more and speak more. And so I'm every interview that comes up, unless it's with Kyle Clark, I'm taking it.
Clark. Oh man.
fighting for the people. But it is a frustrating thing right now. And again, it's something that we need to just keep working on and keep hitting on. And we'll see what happens once we get into session. I think it's going to be a very short session. And then we just got to keep making this an issue. We can't forget about this. I mean, this is a big deal for me, like you were saying, that we just kind of forgot about all of our freedom and our constitutional rights overnight. And I mean, for me, again, like I've been there. I've lost friends who've paid the ultimate price
right.
for our freedoms
right.
and right. heard their kids scream and cry. I miss daddy. And it's not a simple deal for me to just, oh, well, it's okay that some unelected bureaucrat can force you to stay in your home.
Right.
No, that's not okay.
That's not
what.
Okay.
What did you think of the Keating poll? I know it's a Democratic one at a Steamboat. I guess it's Steamboat. Telluride. showing Corey Gardner behind by 18 points, I think it was 16 or 18. Keating, while it's, you know, it's identified as a Democratic polling establishment, has an okay record, at least in the last few elections. That's Trump seems to be down a lot, according to them. And also Gardner is just dead in the water.
You know, I haven't seen the poll. I think right now it's pretty early to tell. And I think if you look at the start of this COVID thing, the polling was overwhelmingly that people were in support of the complete shutdowns. But as it keeps going on right. and on, you're seeing that sentiment change really rapidly. That folks are going, wait a minute, and they're kind of reevaluating it. And now, as we're seeing these jobless numbers peak, I mean, what, 33 million in the country? That's going to be enormous. And when people start seeing that, they're going to probably rethink thoughts on prolonging all these shutdown orders.
Right.
And so, there's that. And then with Corey Gardner specifically, too, no one's really ever gone after Hickenlooper. And so I really do hope that the Gardner campaign does, because there's plenty to go after Hickenlooper on. I mean, he's directly responsible for so many of these policies. If you take a look at the cost of living in Colorado and how it's just skyrocketed under his administration with all the different things that were passed, all these different regulations that really had nothing to do with health and safety. There's just additional licensing requirements and red tape that added to the overall cost of every product you can think of, whether it was childcare, whether it's the burger you buy at a restaurant, whether it's your trip to the grocery store. He added all these policies that add these costs onto people. And I think a lot of people, that's their main worry. They get through this now, they're lucky if they keep a job. And then I think if you look at it, we're going to start looking at even more inflationary pressures moving forward. And quite frankly, Hickenlooper during his administration, did a lot of bad things that added to this cost of living crisis that we're looking at in Colorado.
And you're not even getting into the fact that he used 9/11 emergency funds to pay for his own defense of his unethical behavior. So, I mean, you didn't even mention that. Yeah.
Well, Patrick, I want to thank you. You're always great. You're great to have on the program every Friday. We love the Minority Report. And have good luck with that math part of the MBA.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Patrick Neville there. Hey, I want to remind folks, too, you can hear a lot of what Patrick has to say at ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Right.
We've got Randy Corcoran joining us here in a little bit. But did you want to talk about Flynn?
Senegenics,
okay.
Our mm-hmm. other great sponsor,
Dr. Julie McCallum.
This time of COVID, it's not going to go away. You want to get yourself back where you were.
Health-wise.
Get your heart in good shape. Get your weight down, get the vitamins, get the hormones, get everything that you really need these days. And Julie McCallum is a lifesaver. She's a lifesaver for me after my heart surgery, lifesaver for Peter after his heart
Peter
surgery. Don't wait till your heart surgery, or if you already had it, get back, because she can really, you regain all your, what you may thought have been lost. It really is an anti-aging process, and I can tell you it works. So you want to give Senegenics a call at 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, or just go Senegenics Denver at C-E-N-E. I always want to add an R. C-E-N-E, Genics. C-E-N-E, Denver, and it'll come right back up.
And tell them Chuck sent you.
And tell him Chuck sent you. Appreciate that, if you would.
So before we get Randy on, who can update, Randy, every time I text Randy, he's involved in something else. Randy Corcoran has got to be the busiest person.
He's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job. Want to briefly talk, though, yesterday was a good day. I mean, it was a good day that just kept getting better, I think, in terms on the national front. General Flynn's case is dropped by the Department of Justice. That was big news itself. But Chuck, your take on the letter, the 20-page document, I mean, they didn't just drop it. They didn't say, oh, we don't think we can prove it. They said there was no basis for it ever to have begun in the first place.
They proved it. I mean, no one could, and it's another 20 pages of exhibits, and it's just devastating.
Yeah.
And to watch CNN and MSNBC, which I love to do, to tell you the truth.
It's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. them, you know, putting on U.S. attorneys and law professors. This is, you know.
This is terrible.
They're politicizing the ages of it.
Go figure.
And the one thing you absolutely know in this world is the absolute truth. Whatever they do, they accuse Republicans of. If they politicize the AG's department, and they did, it was incredible.
Like Eric Holder never did.
Yeah, no. The FBI. None of these other Republicans. No, yeah. It's sad. It's pathetic because I think Barr said it best. They've gotten so tilted with politics. Their sense of justice and fairness and decency have gone out the window. And they really have.
And on top of that, though, that was fun in and of itself and to read that. But then in the meantime, we're getting the document drops that were some of the testimony in front of the House Intelligence Committee, the one that Schiff said proves that Trump colluded. He's still trying to say that. The one that Nunez and those guys came out and said, no, it didn't. And Trey Gowdy was in that. That information is interesting. To me, first of all, it's an acknowledgement that there was never anything there to begin with. You've got all of those people, Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, all of these people testifying, well, no, we have no evidence that Russia colluded. You have the CrowdStrike people saying, yeah, we don't actually even have any evidence that our computer was hacked to begin with. Right. But one of the more interesting things before we get to Randy, I think, is we've long suspected it, but I think this made it clear that this went all the way up to Barack Obama. Barack Obama was definitely involved.
Yeah, there's a great article by Molly Heminger in The Federalist. It goes out step by step. Everything's coordinated with the Washington Post, when to leak stuff positively, negatively, how to influence swings, and how to, you know, they had a two-step process, get rid of Flynn, get rid of Sessions. And what's amazing is how well they did.
Right.
I mean, they managed to accomplish their goal. I mean, it's amazing.
But
then get Mueller appointed. I mean, that was a 1-2-3 of an amazing how intelligently they did it and how almost horrifyingly criminal it was.
Well, and here's what, to me, though, with Obama, if you haven't followed that, so here's what happened. There's been a lot of question. They've been trying to portray this as just rogue FBI agents, right? And maybe rogue Department of Justice agents doing all of this. Well, then they talk about this January 5th, 2017, after the election meeting at the Obama White House, when he's still in the White House, and he's meeting with Brennan, Clapper, Sally Yates, Biden is there, by the way, Comey, and they talk about all of this Russia investigation stuff. Everybody files out the door, but the president asks Comey and Sally Yates to stay behind. And then Barack Obama
and Biden.
And Biden. Don't forget Biden. Sitting there now. We don't know what he understood or where he thought he was.
The reason why he wanted to have Yates and Comey, because those two were going to continue on after the 20th.
They're
going to be part of the Trump administration unless you replace them.
But Barack Obama is the one who brings up the investigation into General Flynn. This is after the FBI, by the way, keep this in mind, had already said it should be closed because they didn't have any evidence. So Barack Obama, and Sally Yates says at the time, she wasn't even really sure what he was talking about.
No, I don't believe that.
No. On the other hand, though, so you've got the President of the United States at the time, Barack Obama, acknowledging his awareness of this phony investigation. And he knew it was phony because the FBI agents had already said it was phony. And so Barack Obama, along with Sally Yates and James Comey and Joe Biden, all sat there, and it's clear they conspired to keep it going.
Yeah. And it's amazing because you have that earlier text message that from Lisa Page saying,
right,
the White House wants to be informed of everything. That makes that a lot more
And not
relevant.
In just some sort of general vague way, right? If Barack Obama is getting involved enough to be talking about General Flynn's phone conversations with the Russian ambassador, blah, 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 blah. He's got his finger very much on the pulse of what was going on there. And you always thought, well, they can't be doing all of this without his knowledge or awareness, but they've tried to say, no, no, rogue people. It's clear it wasn't rogue. It's like you said, you read the article by Molly Hemingway in The Federalist. It's clear this is very orchestrated. And the good news is Donald Trump on Fox and Friends this morning said, hey, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you ain't seen nothing yet. So I think there's more to be coming. So that's something to keep an eye on.
All right, well, let's go to our next guest, the incredible, the amazing Randy, Randy Corcoran. He can turn on his camera and unmute himself. He's been doing just a wonderful job out there of representing those who need to be representing, running for offices and succeeding spectacularly.
Well, and Randy, turn, if you can hear us, there you go. I see you there.
There he is.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Wait, have you joined Antifa or are you?
This mask is my souvenir face mask from the Tri-County Health Department today.
Oh, great.
Update us.
I was there with Jennifer and Water's Edge Winery and Bistro. And we were negotiating a temporary surrender so that she could continue to do her curbside delivery. She has a wine club where many, many people expect wines every month. And so we went back in and had an interesting meeting with some top folks at Tri-County. and they lifted the closure order so long as she promised to be a good girl, which for the time being, for the weekend, she is going to do.
Well, let's back folks up, because she was on our show, and she's been all over the place now too. And she just, I think, broke everybody's heart talking about how she's just a gal from the Midwest, didn't have a lot of money growing up. This has been her dream to open up this bistro and winery down there in Centennial. Her home is the collateral on it. I mean, and so she's looking at losing her business, losing her home. And she said, I'm going to open up. And she did. People responded. People were happy to go there. And then boom, she starts getting threatening letters saying they're going to imprison her. They're going to fine her. They're going to close her down. They're going to hold it against her later on. And Randy, I know, maybe you can't say this, but I can. I mean, to me, it seems like they just held their hostage, a bunch of bureaucrats, to just sort of flex their muscle and say, ha, 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 little business owner, we can destroy you if we want to.
And they can.
Well, a couple of things. When they actually, you know, we've jumped through the hoops with the AG. We've jumped through the hoops with the liquor board. Tri-County was the entity with power here.
Right.
And they showed up yesterday with four Arapahoe County sheriffs and two very cranky Tri-County order deliverers with the order that was for immediate closure. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talked about that with the brass today at Tri-County, that, you know, here's this 5'3" business owner with her life on the line, her life savings, her 5 years of work, her house securing her small business loan, all of those things. And that you don't need to show up with the SWAT team. And
right. Well, she's lucky she didn't get the CNN and the Stone treatment with the frogmen. I'm surprised the frogmen and the
paratroopers.
The paratroopers. And are they sure that four is enough? I mean, you know, those guys are probably in great danger.
Well, you know, they've had 17 complaints, and we have this guy who sent out that email saying people are going to get shot and all of that.
Right.
So on one hand, I can understand them being careful. There was no excuse whatsoever. The sheriffs acted very professionally, non-threateningly, except for being a powerful show of force. But the women who served the order were just simply out of line in their rudeness. And we didn't make that point.
Okay.
And, because Glendale is in Arapahoe County, and therefore is Tri-County Health deserve that. That's what Tri-County Health is. I mean, of all the health departments, normally health departments are not quite so awful. And particularly in Denver, they're not quite so awful. But Tri-County, because they represent three counties, they are some of the most unpleasant people to ever have to deal with. I mean, it's sort of shocking. And at least the people in Douglas County have realized that. It'd be nice if people in Arapahoe County.
And Adams, where we live.
Yeah, well, Adams, too, would kind of go, no, that's okay, guys. We'll take it from here.
Well, our experience with the upper-level folks that we met with today was not that way.
Yeah, well, you don't get to meet them. You don't get to meet them normally, I promise you.
They were gracious. They were concerned. They feel like they're hamstrung because they do have to follow the lead of the governor. They have backed all of their, you know, they had stronger orders in place for a little while than the governor did for Arapahoe County and Adams, because they say the numbers were so high, and they have now backed up to where the governor's safer at home orders remain, which does absolutely no good for Jennifer.
No, or for any restaurant owner. But let me ask you this, though. It seems to me like that's another circular argument, because Polis says, well, he's only following what they're telling him to do. And they're telling you, well, we're only following what Polis tells us to do. I have an idea. Why don't we just do something reasonable that the people want to do?
Well, I think there's some confusion there, because that was one of the questions, really smart questions that Jennifer asked, is, are you telling him these things?
Right.
And it was pretty clear to us that the medical people at Tri-County don't have any say whatsoever to the governor with regard to his advisors. They express frustration that they keep asking for guidance and more information. Can we give our businesses some time? You know,
right.
In 15 days, can they start having 50% staff and 15-foot distancing inside? And they're just not getting those answers. So we felt some level of respect with the way we were treated by this group of higher-ups, and we were appreciative of that. But I'm not kidding. This is what they gave us when we walked. There was a protest there today.
Yeah, good.
And so we got there was a good solid 30 people there with signs. I'm sure Facebook is replete with pictures. People driving by honking, 90%+ in support. But before we walked into the building, I got my first mask.
Yeah. I was going to say, how'd you get it? You can't even get a mask anywhere. It's
like, the Tri-County.
They're hoarding them. They must have been hoarding them.
But I didn't put it on. Jennifer didn't put it on. And we walked into a conference room where we were socially distanced and nobody put them on.
Well, they can sell it now on eBay.
Yeah, you can make some money.
Well, did they give you any sense of, and it sounds like from what you're saying, they're to a certain extent, it's interesting to see where the real power is here, where Polis is trying to find it off on them. Right, that's a very interesting point. Right. Well, did they have any sense?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll finish your question.
I was just going to say, did they give you any sense of what business owners like Jennifer can expect?
They were unable to, and they seemed genuinely apologetic for it from their level of understanding. But one thing you said that triggered a thought in my mind is this was such a valuable meeting for us because, you know, Jennifer and I are not done. We've been trying to figure out the best civil strategy for injunctive relief or review by a court of the shutdown order or mass tort or trying to put together a class action suit or, you know, one of those actions. And hearing from the top brass or semi-top brass at Tri-County that our hands are really kind of tied by the governor, we now know with 100% clarity who our target is going to be.
Yes, right. Well, and again, and you know, there's been a lot of criticism. All Polis does is every other day he you know, convenes another committee to study this, and there's been a lot of criticism about the people on the committee. That is, I think, huge, and no one will cover this, of course, but that's huge news that because Polis keeps saying, hey, I'm only doing what the health officials tell me, and you're saying to health officials, are like, we're not saying this. We're, the governor told us this is what we have to do. We don't know, you know?
So well, one thing that part of our strategy for next week is going to be to get some CORAs out. Who is telling whom what?
Exactly.
And what is it that they're being told?
Right.
So we can assess better if they're drawing really legitimate inferences and have truly genuine concerns that they just can't overcome with sound reasoning and the unfolding science. Or are they just on a power trip here, better safe than sorry, with no regard or consequences at all to the long-term effect of these businesses who will shut down, people whose lives are being turned completely upside down.
Well, and certainly, Randy, no one would ever suspect Jared Polis of having ulterior motives in any of this.
Good thing there's not a big election coming up or, you know, anything like that.
Well, turning to another subject about somebody
you also involved, is there anything you're, let me just ask
not
you,
involved
is there anything you're not kind
are
of
you drafted by the Broncos? And
yeah, that's right. Can you, are you going to be the new quarterback when they open up? And the Nuggets need some help too. Can you pitch? So
been a couple hectic weeks, I will say.
But Eli Bremmer has decided, and on behalf of the establishment, Joe Webb and Chris Cook and various others, to declare full-on war with Ken Buck, with the aid and encouragement of the Denver Post and Jason Salzman and Colorado Polls, going after Ken Buck. I'm amazed by that. I mean, they're called the establishment for a reason. They're supposed to be
boring.
The ones, well, they're supposed to have the power, not attacking the people with the power. What's going on?
Well, I love how the roles flip, too. You know, now that I'm the Republican National Committeeman elect, I will be undoubtedly considered part of the establishment no matter what I do. And Ken Buck and Christy Burton Brown are establishment because they're leaders, even though we worked for years and years to put people like that in those positions.
Right.
I was so outraged. I don't get the Denver Post. And so
that's
I don't
smart.
Usually.
That's smart.
Yeah. But I immediately, I started hearing about the stories, and I guess they've been updated online. And I was so outraged when I read it. That I wrote to the editor of the Denver Post, and they will be publishing my response to yesterday's story anyway, in I think the Sunday paper.
Well, and here's, because let me clarify for folks who maybe aren't sure what we're talking about. So just a few weeks ago in the caucuses, Eli Bremmer was running the caucus in Senate District 10 in El Paso County. And to make a long story short, I use the word manipulated, and I think that might be a kind word. But at any rate, there were a lot of questions about how he ran it. And he ran it in such a way that the establishment candidate was Larry Liston was the one who got elected. You were hired by one of the guys who was running saying, hey, look, this was a mess. It wasn't done right. And the Republican Central Committee with Ken Buck as a chair did what I think is the most reasonable thing and said, hey, let's put them both on the ballot since there's so many questions. We can't do it over.
Well, he didn't decide that. The Central Committee decided that.
And we'll just let the voters decide. Fast forward to the Denver Post article. The headline is something like
Ken Buck Riggs
committing fraud forces this guy.
Beautiful, wonderful human being.
Yeah, to commit perjury.
How dare he?
I mean, I have never seen that was journalistic malpractice on the reporter's part, number one. But all right, I'll stop ranting and you address
The line that sent me over the edge when I read that piece was that Ken Buck bullied a volunteer.
Right.
Eli Bremer, whose uncle was like the grand poobah of Iraq under the George W. Bush the George W. Bush administration, and is very deeply entrenched in Colorado politics, a very powerful person. Eli Bremer is an experienced, connected political activist. He's been the chair of a party. And the way that article read, it was like, some grandma who just finally decided to show up was pounded to the ground by Ken Buck.
I just made the connection. I'm afraid I didn't ever previously make the connection, even though I heard, his uncle was credited or blamed for destroying Iraq. I just saw a PBS show on it about his orders, disbanding, making sure that all prior people could have no jobs and starting really the guerrilla warfare. I'd never quite realized that was his uncle.
Proud tradition.
Proud tradition of destroying things.
I don't know enough about the uncle to.
You should check.
I'll learn about it. But I don't know enough about it to pass any judgments. What I do know is to portray Eli Bremer as some volunteer who was bullied is outrageous. I just felt compelled to write about it.
And then the Denver Post goes on to interview some DU political science professor. That's guess where this one's coming from. It was like, this is from the Democrat Party, by the way, which rigged the whole,
And then they followed it up by Morgan Carroll. Republican Morgan Carroll.
It was a
hack story of all time.
They're quoting these people as being shocked by this. We can't, and whether Morgan Carroll is saying maybe Ken Buck should resign his congressional seat.
He wants him to apologize and pay him $15,000, even though he's claiming he had nothing to do with the lawsuit.
Yeah, it was a friendly lawsuit filed by his vice chair.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I don't know about Wayne Williams and others who participated at the executive committee and the state committee level, but I was volunteering my help to those delegates.
Right.
So I don't know if the other lawyers were being paid or not, but it's beyond it's just beyond the pale because it was the executive committee after a full hearing that made this decision. And then the central committee, after hearing evidence again, upholding that decision, and Ken Buck simply saying, here is the decision. Do you understand it? Will you comply?
Right.
That's bullying.
And leaking audio, I mean, that was such a journalistic cheap trick, too. It's like, we obtained the audio, which actually said nothing interesting.
Oh, I forgot the third part of the triumvirate. Jason Saltzman, Denver Post, and of course, Kyle Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Has he talked about this as well?
Here's the thing.
Another thing I never see.
To me, this was clearly an attempt by the Denver Post to trash Ken Buck. And let's just look at what's happened with Ken Buck. Ken Buck has been one of the few people in Congress who's actually been fighting to reopen businesses. He's been pushing people like governors like Polis to reopen business. Ken Buck has been, I think, gaining support and gaining loyalty. He's making sense. He's getting a higher profile. And so to me, I don't think that the timing is completely coincidental.
No.
I think that the Denver Post, with the Denver Post as their useful idiot arm, are saying, we got to do something about this Ken Buck because, hey, he's starting to make sense. And we certainly can't have that going on.
Well, I certainly can't get inside their heads, but it's a perfectly reasonable explanation to me. I do give credit to Megan Schrader, the editor of the Denver Post, for saying yes immediately without any hesitation to allowing me to present a response.
Didn't you just recently have to present a response to the Denver Post where everything was screwed up too?
Yeah, that was about the Stand With ICE rally and the director of Progress Now who just went on the rampage. And they edited that response a little bit and we fought about that, but they do give us the space and that's great, whatever.
So where should people look for it? Sunday in the Denver Post?
I think it'll be Sunday. It's for the weekend paper, but I'm pretty sure that she was talking about Sunday. So tomorrow or Sunday, it'll be there.
How many words did you write?
I got 750 this time.
That's whoa, that's a real article, actually. That actually is a standard size article.
I have trouble coming from a TV world. My longest story could be a minute, which is, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
And for the paper, I'm like, Julie, you can't write
40
words on the story.
I'm like, I got all the important stuff there. Well, Randy, let us go. Are you going to talk about this? You're on 710 KNUS every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. You're going to be, what do you got coming up on that?
Well, definitely I will verbally address these attacks, because I'm told that there are now additional pieces that are coming out from the same reporter online. I want to read those and get them all in my head and talk about them tomorrow.
Okay.
Jennifer Huon will be on the show tomorrow to talk about, you know, her thought process right now and partially reopening. And, you know, this is really important to say that as gung-ho as she is and was to lead the charge for just reopening and let the chips fall, there were hundreds of people, many of them business owners, who were saying, yes, May 1st, we're going to do this. She's the only one that I know that did it.
I think
she used her mind very well in making this decision today to, for now, keep going while we get the legal arm together.
Well, rest assured, the Colorado Supreme Court is not the same as the Colorado it's a Texas Supreme Court, and Ken Paxton, the AG for Texas,
is not Phil Wiser.
So,
your lips to God's ears, and those are part of the conversations that she had to consider. She's a smart lady.
Yeah. You know, I'll just say this too: if and when she reopens, and any,
we're all going to go down,
and
there,
any other business that reopens, I think it is important for all of us to go there and support, because the only answer, if they're not going to be reasonable, is to overwhelm them and make them acknowledge, look, businesses are open. We just need to move forward. So
Randy, I'm glad you said that, because she's opening at 11 tomorrow for lunch and for pickup and takeout food, her wines. You can get individual drinks to go with your meals. And so we need to support her greatly.
Yes.
And people also should go to Colorado Freedom Force, where we are soliciting stories for potential additional plaintiffs. We're building up resources for the legal onslaught that's about to come out of here. But we need more people. We need more people to quit talking and start doing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, Randy, warriors just don't get the job done.
All right. No, exactly. Randy, thank you for your time. Thank you for all that you do. We'll talk to you next time.
Listen to you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Randy Corcoran there, 9 to noon at 710 KNUS. Well, you know, we can open it up now. We see got a lot of people on Zoom if you want to chime in. Or you can call 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. You know, you can weigh in on the Flynn thing or on the reopening thing. Here's what I would hope that I think it's going to come to this. Let me back up. Just my experience yesterday. So it was kind of interesting. I think with this mask thing, there is a definite push to mask shame people, right?
Yes.
Everybody I talk to, except for the one woman, and I'll tell you about her, thinks that it's stupid. And they understand that, you know, a few weeks ago, the health department, Dr. Fauci himself on 60 Minutes is telling us masks are useless. You don't have to worry about a mask. Right. All of a sudden now you can go to jail if you're not wearing a mask, right? Businesses are saying, oh, we have to wear masks. Masks, all that kind of stuff. So people get that it's kind of a weird issue, and at least at the very least inconsistent, and you're being shamed into using it. And I have a feeling that pretty soon, particularly as the weather gets hotter, as these masks are such a pain to take on and off, you know, like Mayor of Denver saying that toddlers at daycare centers have to have masks on. I think there's going to be a slow but steady erosion. And this is what I would say. So I was in line at this flower place, and one of the places I went to did not require masks, and some people had them on, some people didn't. They didn't have little marks on the floor, which sometimes I wonder, is that really 6 feet? But at any rate, then I went to another place, and you had to wait to get in. They were only letting a certain number of people in, and there was one woman ahead of me, and it cracked me up because she was kind of young, clearly very healthy. She was in workout clothes, and she was worried. She said she wasn't worried about her, but she was worried about other people having it, right? So I think it's a kind of thing that it's going to slowly go away, and the shame isn't going to really work
that much. Be a slow trickle, and then it's just going to cascade down. But I can't wait for the cascading down. Originally, I didn't think the mask thing was a big deal because originally they told us masks don't work at all. I said, then why do you have all the hospital workers?
Right.
But now they've carried on, so it's mandatory masking. And I believe Karen Cadlane, who really stood up saying, it's just a mark of shame that you got to say that you're
right.
you give in to the state and whatever its dictates are.
And we got a text from, and thank you guys over there, BBS. You know, amen, Julie, you're 100% correct. I just
don't send those, please.
No. Send any kind of text. Julie is 100% correct. We should just keep that up there.
We got a sense.
Well, I mean, and you know, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, because we had a discussion what, Tuesday night with my daughter, who's a libertarian. I would say that's
not a libertarian.
Or progressive leaning. And she was like, I'm not wearing a mask. Masks are stupid. We know they're stupid. And she was traveling and she found at one of the airports.
More libertarian due to this.
Yeah, but she found a speakeasy, she said, at one of the airports where you went to the very back of the concourse and there was a restaurant open and people were drinking,
eating,
they were sitting next to each other.
Party Friday.
Yeah, and she said, I'm not wearing a mask. And I thought, heck, you know what? I'm not going to wear a mask either. Of course, then you go to the store and it says you got to wear a mask. And I don't. At the flower store I was with, there was one person, she was kind of arguing with the guy in a polite way, I should say that, respectfully. And she said, look, I'm outside. I'm not going inside. And, you know, it was this kid, right? And you could see this kid is like, lady, you know, I'm just this kid.
Well, if you're a business owner,
point.
Don't take, you go to court, I did this, I did that. These times say, I got coronavirus from you. And so they're all kind of going, wow. Well,
exactly. And that's what's going to take all of us taking a stand, because they've terrified the business owners, right?
Sure.
If you're a business owner, I'm sure, you know, this flower place doesn't want to have to pay this kid and could do a lot more business if people didn't have to. I mean, there were people leaving lines, right? I mean, it was just flowers. Yeah, people aren't going to wait in line to buy flowers. And it's a pain with the mask. But if you're a business owner, you're terrified, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, should you do it? Shouldn't you do it? Are you going to be liable? And I think that we need to actively support, this is my decision anyway, the businesses that don't require it. If there's a business that says, if I have a choice between going to a flower shop that says you don't need a mask and a flower shop that says you have to wear a mask, I think it's important to start,
that's a good point.
Voting with our wallets and saying, no, we support you. Because to me, I think if you're concerned, wear a mask, right? Or stay home. But this concept of quarantining healthy people, and number one, the data shows it didn't work anyway. In New York City, what I read, 84% of the people who were hospitalized were locked down, had been staying at home, right? And you see the people who, like, they try to shame you if you're jogging. It's like there have been zero cases of people getting coronavirus from a jogger or a person riding by on the bike. So it is the left doing their typical virtue signaling, and they're trying to stamp us down. They're trying to control what we do. And I think we just have to, it's tricky because, again, if you want to go into the Walmart, they say you have to wear a mask. And I get why Walmart is saying that, because you can't have 800 different policies. But I think, though, again, Karen Catalin put it back, it's like, it's our freedom. We have this freedom. We have to start saying the emperor has no clothes here.
Right.
This is ridiculous. It's not effective. And we're not doing it just because you think that you can make us. And I think it puts the cops in a bad spot, too. I mean, there have been sheriffs around the country saying...
Well, it's brought the best and the worst out of the police.
Right.
Some are, like in Brighton, they're cuffing a mom who had her toddler out on a swing. I mean, it's just
obscene. It's like football,
And then other ones say, I'm not forcing these.
This is ridiculous, exactly. Yeah. Well, let's go. We got a phone call from Johnny from Denver. Hey, Johnny, thank you for calling in. Good afternoon.
It looks like a perfect storm because I hear from... friends that have friends in jail, that they're letting the prisoners out. So now they have a mask, and now they get to go rob anonymously.
Right.
And the plus side, I guess, it does screw up all the facial recognition surveillance
Which
that
they've
been doing on us, right?
Yeah, so, that's a good thing.
No, Johnny, you're right. So, they're going to the prisoners out of jail.
Put the business owners
in. But they're
going
to put, the business owners.
5'3" woman in jail with 4 armed Arapaho sheriffs.
I mean, what is your sense on the mask? Are you wearing one, or what? How are you handling that?
Because I'm not alone. If I want to keep everyone happy.
Yep.
My significant other, I must pretend that I am just as afraid as
she is.
So I don't really care. If I get it, I get it. If I die, I die. Everybody has a time to be here. If I'm not, but not everybody thinks that way. So,
I'm sure it is a matter of it's kind of Trump anti-Trump. If you got one person one side or the other, sometimes it's tough. Mask, non-mask. I can see how it'd be very not easy.
But
luckily, both of us, no mask.
Yeah, unless. All right, Johnny, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Have a
great
Johnny.
Friday. 888-627-6008. But I'm struggling, like I said, you know, in Denver, you're kind of, but I thought, I don't need to shop in Denver, right? I can shop in other places. I don't need to shop in a city.
Well, if Denver finds that out.
Right. Well, yeah, because I have a lot of influence, I can tell you.
Purchasing power.
Purchasing power, yeah.
But Chuck and Julie?
Yeah.
It's Chris. Hello in the Zoom room. How are you?
Oh, Chris. Hey,
Chris.
Go ahead. Speak up. Thank you for calling
in. It's a beautiful afternoon out to not be wearing a mask.
There you go. How are you handling it, Chris? What are your thoughts?
You know
on
what?
It?
I don't wear the mask. I was instructed at a retailer, Walmart in Douglas County yesterday, to put one on. And I put it in my pocket and walked by the lady, and she gave me a dirty look, and she saw me walk through the store a couple times. That led me to the next question. What authority? This lady says it's mandated. And in Douglas County, it is not mandated.
Oh, no, you're right.
It's not. So the chain of authority in this situation goes from a gubernatorial executive order. It happens to be D220-044. There is a website that you can look up executive orders on. And in that order, he authorizes the Colorado Department of Health to advise Colorado citizens to wear a mask. There is no edict, no direction from the governor. Mm-hmm. In the chain of command or in the chain of laws, Chuck, I'll go to you on this, who authorizes Tri-County Health to administer a executive order? Unless the legislature authorized DORA, as an example, who administers license law, they don't administer health rules or spacing or fire department or things like that. They only administer our license laws. Chuck, your thoughts on that?
Apparently, you know, the governor takes the position that he can vacate any law, any constraint, anything else.
Because he declared an emergency.
But has he?
Oh, yeah, and he just extended it.
Where is it in writing? Where has it been
authorized?
Well, extended
30 days.
No, it's there somewhere.
But he can delegate, or he claims he can delegate, and that's also a subject of legal dispute. He can delegate it down to health departments so that Tri-County could say, okay, pursuant to the power given to us by the governor, we demand this and that and everything else. Okay. Although they've said we're not doing that in Arapahoe County. Which then can a business decide we're going to mandate a mask even though it's not required otherwise? And I would imagine they probably could, but who knows? You know, that'd be
so. With the hairdressers, if they wanted to call DORA, and I know Julie, you said they're hard to get a hold of. Actually, they're a good group of people down at DORA. I've had to deal with them for a long time. But you know, if you call them, and I would ask them, by what authority did the governor give you written authority to say I can't? DORA is not the proper authority to do that. Department of Health or somebody else, not the licensing authority, not the administrative authority.
Right.
And that would probably go to Randy Corcoran and his law. But
yeah.
I just thought maybe Chuck, you'd know how that chain. It's like a chain of evidence.
All the rules are off. Emergency.
Well, and they know, and they know, Chris, that they've got businesses, you know, by the short hair, so to speak, right? Because if do you want to be the test case, right? And do you have to, you're just trying to make a living, right? The last thing you want is having, because the order also says that they can hold it. If you're a restaurant, they can hold it against you if you open in defiance of this order, when you apply for renewal, when you apply for a liquor license. I mean, it's draconian to the extreme.
Chris, what do you do?
I'm a real estate broker and a contractor also. Dual major in college.
Okay.
He does a little bit of everything.
And I was at DU, and I noticed you've got a DU background also.
Yeah, I got an LM in tax.
Yeah.
Chris, let me publicly – Chris has been extremely supportive of us, and I want to thank you for that too. Let me publicly –
No, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
For all your help. Hey, listen, but that is going to wrap it up for us today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Great to end on a call from you. The show today brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Check it out. They have a really nice article about us and other podcasts.
Can it be better?
Conservative podcasts. I want to remind folks, please go to ChuckandJulie.com, ChuckandJulie.com. Click on the little YouTube link. Please subscribe. That'll help us bring even more stuff to you. Once, as things start opening up, I want to get out in the community and support some of these businesses.
I want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Synergenics, Julie McCallum, Lifesaver. They have a program for men. They also have a program for women, specified to your gender, and that's important when you're giving hormones and everything else. You want to get the right mix.
So check it out.
But it's in this time of boy, being healthy, there's no better time to be healthy than today. And so give them a call. Give them a chance.
We're getting it.
Give them the number. 720-387-3681 and say, Chuck and Julie recommended you.
All right, everyone have a great weekend.
And Calero Citizen Press, huh?
I already said them. ColoroCitizenPress.com. Okay. Yep. Everyone have a great weekend.
Take care.